Man, I enjoyed Brother Gomez's message. Did you ever wonder? You know, Jesus suffered and bled and died. His body was beaten. Cat of nine tails, crown of thorns. His visage was so marred he was not recognizable as a man. And yet nowhere does the Scripture tell us to look at his body, but seek his face. You ever wonder why? Lust is connected with the body. A man looks lust after a woman, he looks at her body. Love focuses on the face. He wants us to focus on his face and love him with all our heart. Man, that's a good message, Brother Gomez. Thank you, sir. You know, man, a person is motivated only one of three ways. You know, there's only three ways people are motivated. Number one, by fear. I grew up on a farm. We raised vegetables, and we'd have 10, 15 acres of tomatoes. How many of you know what these green hornworms are? Get on tomatoes, just destroy a plant. Daddy'd say, son, go out in the tomato field and you pick those hornworms off the tomato vines. Well, I didn't want to pick hornworms off tomato vines. I wanted to go fishing. I wanted to go hunting. I wanted to play, do anything except go to the tomato field. Daddy said, son, if you don't go out there in that tomato field and pick those hornworms, I'm going to tan your hide. You dirty minds. He motivated me by fear. Because I'd been to the barn with him. Then as I got a little older, he'd say, now, son, I want you to go out into the tomato field and pick the hornworms off the tomato plants. And every hornworm, I'll give you 1/4 of a penny. Now, five of those rascals, that's a nickel. You don't know math, do you? Man, I thought some of you young people would come back at me. How many hornworms? Huh? Three. Yeah, I expect that from Louisiana, man. Yeah. Yeah, I know, but at least you graduated. Got rid of your snuff. But I thought, man, a quarter of a penny apiece, 20 of those. Wow. You see, I was thinking about an RFC cola for a nickel and a peanut patty for a nickel. And man, I'd go out there and I'd work and I'd pick those hornworms and I'd put them in a jar and I'd take them daddy and I counted them. He motivated me by reward. Fear, reward. The third way is love. As I grew to know my daddy and love my daddy, I was bigger than my daddy. He was 5'8". So I wasn't afraid of him any longer. I had more and made more money than he did, so no reward. He couldn't give me anything that I didn't already have or couldn't buy. I could buy. But in the process of time, I fell in love with my daddy. And if I just thought that there was something I could do to please him, I'd want to do it. Just because I loved him. And that's the way it is in our Christian life. There's some things we do for reward. Thank God for the rewards that are ours, serving Jesus. Some things I do and don't do because I fear him. I'm not going to put off my tithe. I'm not going to cut it back. I fear God. But my, when you fall in love with Him, you want to please Him. You want to serve Him. Just seek His face because you love Him. And that was a blessing to hear, Brother Gomez. Thank you so much. Open your Bible to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. And it is a joy to see you men and ladies. Thank you for all your welcoming wishes and kind words and so forth. And thank you, Brother Coral, for allowing me to be a part of this program. What an honor. And what can I say about Brother Angel and how he hosts the meeting? Thank you, sir, for your kindness, your thoughtfulness. If I had somebody to teach young preachers how to care for guest preachers, I'd like to have Brother Angel do it because he does a great job. And somebody taught him it doesn't come naturally. Hey, can I make a suggestion? If you have a prophet's chamber, Pastor, once a month, you and your wife spend the night in it and cook breakfast in it. Hey, and if you're building one, put it on the ground floor. Man, I'm 83 years old, and I hate stairs like I hate the devil. Isn't it amazing? By the time you learn everything you need to know, you're too old to use it. Have you found your place in 1 Kings chapter 17? If you're physically able to stand, out of love and respect for the Word of God, would you stand with me and follow me silently as I begin to read in verse number 1 of 1 Kings 17. The Bible says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and her son and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. I want you to go back and look at verse number 7 for our text verse tonight. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up. I want to speak to you on the subject, what to do when your brook dries up. Boy, we've come through a rough 2 years. Our churches have COVID casualties all over the place. In our membership, many a church is suffering from a pastor that's suffering from as a casualty of COVID. What to do when our brook dries up? I want to be a blessing and a help. I want to give you some biblical advice from this passage that will help us when we face a time of crisis in our life. What do we do when our brook dries up? Father in heaven, I need thee tonight. No man preaches long enough to stand behind this sacred desk without needing you and your anointing. Fill me with thy spirit. Help me to be a blessing to these dear preachers. Many of them I have preached for. I've preached in their churches. These men are here because they believe the book. They love you. They want to serve you. They want to do a work for you. And there's many laymen here, laywoman here that's here because they love you. They want to serve you and honor you with their life. But the truth is, we have this wonderful gift of salvation in an earthen vessel. And we face problems and heartaches and decisions. There's going to be times when our brook's going to dry up. And we don't know what to do next. Which way to turn. God, teach us tonight from this story and help us so that we might remain in the place where we're always seeking your face rather than just seeking a place with more water. Lord, I know preachers that move every couple of years. First problem comes up, they leave, go somewhere else. Lord, you see to it that the first thing they're going to face is the same problem they left. So help us to learn how to have your blessing on our life and be in your will with your hand on our ministry, even if our brook dries up. Fill me with thy spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We just read one of the most amazing stories in the Bible. I can't tell you how many sermons I've preached from this story. Different sermons. It tells us about the obedience of a prophet of God to do a difficult job for God. Not everything God gives us to do is an easy thing. He was told by God to go to the king, King Ahab, and tell him God's fed up with your sin. You've built prophets, built groves and altars to false prophets, and you've done everything that you can a man can imagine against God and his word. You think the Bible says, in fact, he thought it was a light thing. No other king had done more to provoke God to anger, the scripture said, than Ahab. And Elijah, here's your job. You go tell him, God said, I'm fed up with it. It's not going to rain until you tell it to. God was going to send a terrible drought throughout the land of Israel. And it would not rain until the man of God prayed and asked God to end the drought. Now, here's a great truth that we need to be aware of, and it's seen throughout the Word of God. when God sends judgment upon a family or a kingdom, a nation, or a church because of one person's sin, many innocent people suffer also in that judgment. Because of Ahab's sin, the entire nation was going to suffer this terrible drought of God's judgment. Even God's people are affected by the judgment of the nation there in Israel. I wonder how many families are suffering today because of daddy and mama's sin. I wonder how many churches today are suffering because of a preacher or deacon's sin or compromise. Beware of your sin. You can't get by with it. It hurts you. It hurts the ones you love also. Elijah obeyed God. I love verse number 5. He told him to go to Ahab and tell him. In verse number 5, the Bible says, so he went and did according to the word of the Lord. Go over to verse number 15. The little widow woman down in Zarephath, God had already told her she was to care for the prophet. And the Bible says she went and did according to the saying of the preacher Elijah. Man, what miracles are we missing because we don't obey God? I would it could be said of each of us that we went and did according to the word of God. God told Elijah, he said, now Elijah, when you do your job, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to send you over to the brook Cherith. And you can drink of the sweet waters of that brook. And I'm going to send the ravens twice a day to bring you bread and flesh. Now, it wasn't roadkill. It was good, edible steak and bread. How do you know? Because God sent it. He doesn't have to use roadkill. And twice a day, every day. I don't find anywhere in the Bible God provided more than 2 meals a day for His people, for His servants. Elijah, morning and evening, 2 meals he ate. And then the Bible says that the drought got so bad that the brook dried up. Now Elijah went and did, and now then the brook dried up. And he had commanded the ravens to feed him. Bring him twice a day. Now we wouldn't like that. Some Baptist today would say, I don't want to eat meat brought to me by a raven. It wasn't brought to him by a raven. The raven was just used to bring what God was providing. And he could drink of the sweet waters of the brook. Baptists today say, well, I don't like brook water. And one meal at a time, I want my freezer full. Day by day. Give us this day our daily bread. No hoarding allowed. God wants us to learn to trust Him. Not the brook. Not the ravens. He wants us to learn to trust Him. After about 6 months or a year, the drought got so bad that the brook dried up. Now what was God's faithful servant going to do? How's he going to make it? With a brook dried up. Here's where the average child of God panics. They get themselves into a world of trouble. They jump out of the frying pan into the fire. Here's where many preachers get into trouble also. We react to the judgment of God on somebody else's life and make a decision that gets our life out of the will of God. Now then, when we get out of the will of God, the chastening rod of God is on our back. And our family suffers. Because we didn't know what to do when the brook dried up. We must never forget that sin does not have to be immorality or murder in order to bring God's correction in our lives. It's not the name of the sin or the number of the sins that make sin bad. It's the nature of sin. All sin is rebellion against God. All sin will bring God's judgment. Acting without faith and obedience to God's word and getting out of God's will is terrible sin also that God hates. Now, I want you to consider just four or five quick thoughts about what to do when the brook dries up. These things we learn from Elijah. He put the story, God put the story here in the Bible for us, for our example. The first thing we must do is to settle at once the fact that it is not the brook or the ravens that's our source of supply. It is God. It is God. We'd better learn to trust Him. We've been programmed by the secular world to think that our job, our business, or even our government is our source of supply. Not so. No more than the brook or the ravens were Elijah's source of supply. It was God that was doing it. It was God. Well, I don't know how I'm going to make it. Novel idea. Trust God. He is our source of supply. If you read the Bible and find out and read what God has done for His children throughout this word, and you can't trust Him today, my soul, what's wrong with us? If God can bring water out of a rock, if God can bring manna from heaven, if God can bring quail out of the desert, if God can prepare a table in the wilderness, my God can supply your need and my need. He is our source of supply. We've come through a 2-year period of time when every preacher here that's right with God ought to be able to look back and see God's hand. Let me tell you how. He said, but we couldn't have church. We had to do it live. We had to do it live stream. We had to do it on a outside, on a platform, and they sat in their car and on. People just... it's just not the same. No, it's not the same, but I tell you what. God, our source of supply, didn't let your offerings drop. Most pastors I know that's right with God, their offerings increased. God is our source of supply. Learn to trust Him. Learn to obey Him. It's amazing what He wants to do. And I'm here to tell you, because we hadn't settled this question that God is our source of supply, we'd jump up and run off somewhere else and get out of the will of God, thinking we've got to do it in order to survive. No, God is our source of supply. We need to learn to trust Him and stick with Him and be faithful to Him. Instead of blaming the brook, we'd better wait and see God's purpose and plan. If God can prepare a table for His children in the wilderness, I'm here to tell you, God can take care of me and my family and you and your family. Secondly, we must remember that God has not been caught off guard by the brook drying up. God didn't wake up one morning and say, oh my soul, what am I going to do? That brook's dried up. Now, God already had the plan taken care of before the water ever dried up in that brook. Hey, did you ever stop to think that God allowed this brook to dry up in order to move Elijah where Elijah could be a help and a blessing to someone else in great trouble? Here was a woman and her son about to starve to death. God's plan was to send Elijah over there to that little widow woman that was about to starve to death and tell her to take care of you. And she went and did. That's what the Bible says. When God speaks to you, can it be said, you went and did according to the word of the Lord? He's still God, regardless of how the brook dries up. And Romans 8:28 is still in effect. The older I get in the Lord, the easier it is for me to see God at work in the circumstances of my life. Isaiah said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. While most of Israel was majoring on the death of Uzziah, Isaiah looked beyond the grave and beyond the casket and saw God still on the throne and God still in charge. And let me tell you, God uses the circumstances of our life to bring about providentially His will and purpose for us if we'll yield to Him instead of jumping up and running off somewhere else, trying to take care of it ourselves. Hey, one of the great discoveries of my life, I didn't have to fight myself every battle. God's on our side. He's our Savior. He's our Commander-in-Chief. He'll fight those battles for you and with you if we'll learn to trust Him. He uses the circumstances of our life day by day to direct us in His will and for His purpose. The providential workings of God in our life to bring us to that place where we can honor Him most and bring Him most glory and do His will through our life. God uses the daily occurrences of life to direct me in His will, to correct me when I'm wrong. And it's always for my good and it's always for His glory. Settle it down. When problems come, God may not be trying to chastise you. He may be trying to tender your heart or move you to a family or get you to go to a person or visit someone in the hospital or take a look into your own heart and life and make sure everything's right with God. Boy, there's some things you need to settle. God's on our side, folks. God's on our side. He's not our enemy. And when our brooks dry up, God's not trying to get even necessarily. Settle it. Boy, there's some things that are settled. You don't have to worry. Salvation is by grace through faith. That's settled. Salvation is forever. That's settled. Salvation is through Jesus Christ and Him alone. That's settled. You can be saved and know that you're saved, and that's settled. And I could go on and on. You don't have to worry one minute about those things when you put your trust in Jesus. He's for us. And even when our brooks dry up, God is still on our side, and He wants us to be on His. Thirdly, plan now for the brook to dry up someday by being faithful to obey God in every little thing today while there's plenty. Elijah did everything God told him to do at the brook, before the brook, and after the brook. If we're not trusting and faithfully obeying God when the going's good, don't expect God's intervention for us when the brook dries up. Had Elijah not obeyed God and yielded to his will, the rest of his life would have been a different story. And I say to you, we'd miss so much by our disobedience and our lack of faith when our brook dries up. I wonder what miracles have we missed by jumping up and running off somewhere when our brook dried up instead of waiting for God. Fourthly, don't make a move on your own when your brook dries up. Wait for a word from God. Why was Elijah at the brook? Because it was there that God sent him, and it was there the ravens brought his food. It was there where he had water. That was the last place of the perfect will of God for his life. When the brook dried up, he didn't send out a bunch of resumes. He didn't start calling preachers. He stayed where he was until he had a word from God. And then he moved. Don't move from the last place God put you in his perfect will for your life just because tough times have come. When God puts you in some place, you don't run from problems. You don't leave without a word from God. A person is never just supposed to leave where God put them. God will move us when he's ready to another place in his perfect will. But wait for that word of God. Elijah didn't move from the dried up brook until God told him where to move. Elijah didn't send out resumes and call for preachers. If I had to make a resume, I wouldn't know how to do it. I've never had a resume. Been preaching 58 years. Never sent out a resume. Furthermore, I've never called a preacher and asked him to have me. And I've never written a preacher and asked him to have me. God's my booking agent. I'm in business for him. He knows where he can use me and where he wants me. And I'm willing. Some of you preachers have been hearing from God and you ain't been obeying him either. These have been tough 2 years on missionaries and evangelists. How many of you pastors have a year's calendar already booked and planned? 3? Man, everybody used to do that. That's the way we were taught to do it. Not to go from one crisis to another. But boy, here lately, because of COVID and shutdowns and lockdowns and idiots in charge of government and health cares, my soul, many a pastor don't know what to do. Do what you've been doing. Seek God's face. Follow his leadership. He's still our God. But don't move on your own. Wait for a word from God. Don't move from the last place God put you in his perfect will for your life just because tough times have come. When God puts you someplace, don't run from the problems. I've already said this, but I'm saying again because I want you to get it. You must wait for a word from God, the leadership of God. And by the way, God didn't lead Elijah from the brook where the ravens were feeding him to a place that was more lucrative. Said there's a little widow woman over there about to starve to death, she and her son. And I want you to go over there and tell her she's down to one handful of meal. Little cake so small she's gathering two sticks, the Bible says, to make a little fire and cook it. They're going to eat it and die. And you go over there and tell her to make you a cake first. God's ways aren't our ways. If we were doing it, we'd have sent him to a food bank. Or we'd send him to the government and see if he could get a handout. God sent him to a little widow woman that was about to starve to death. And he didn't do it. God didn't do it because Elijah didn't have anything to drink and anything to eat. God sent him there because there was somebody in distress and God was trying to get Elijah into a place and her into a place of obedience where God could work a miracle and supply both their needs. For more than a year. You notice I held on when I did that. When the brook dries up, above all else, obey God's command, no matter how foolish it may seem to you. Now, God said, Elijah, I want you to go to Zarephath. And there's a little widow woman in Zarephath. And I've told her to feed you. You tell her to feed you. I've already met with her. Zarephath was a pagan land. The drought was in Zarephath also. And Zarephath was the hometown of Jezebel. Oh, I don't want to go there. I want to go to that place. Got a big church and a good salary and a nice parsonage. No, we're servants of God. We ought to be willing to let Him lead us and Him guide us. It's sure hard to work that way, isn't it? Learn quickly that God's ways are not our ways. God may have allowed your brook to dry up, so He can get you into a place to help someone else get into the place where God can help them. I'm going to say that again. Learn quickly. God may have allowed your brook to dry up, so He can get you into the place to help someone else get into the place where God could help them. What would have happened to this little widow woman had Elijah not showed up? What would have happened to this little widow woman if she had not obeyed the instructions of God before the man of God ever got there? Read the story. I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. You see, it wasn't just the fact that she would have died of starvation, her son would have died of starvation. But God knew that after the drought was over, that son was going to get sick and die. And He wanted Elijah to be there to help get her in the place where God could work a miracle and raise that son from the dead. I asked you again, what miracles are you missing in your life and ministry because when your brook dries up, you're not waiting for a word from God? And you get a word from God, and it may seem foolish to you. And you listen to someone else's counsel instead of His. Let me give you one last word. When you've been faithful and the brook dries up, it doesn't mean that you're a failure. God is just trying to get you into a place where He can use you in a greater way than ever before. Now consider, what God did with Elijah after the brook had dried up. And he went and did according to the word of the Lord. 1 Kings 17, the miracle of meal and oil took place in the widow's house. 1 Kings 17, the widow's son was raised from the dead. Chapter 18, Elijah challenged the prophets of Baal and killed them. Chapter 18, Elijah prayed down fire from heaven to consume the sacrifices while the false prophets looked on. Chapter 18, Elijah prayed for the drought to end. He prayed rain out of a cloud about the size of a man's hand that ended the drought. Chapter 19, the angel of the Lord came down and ministered to Elijah. Chapter 19, God reveals himself to Elijah in that wonderful, still, small voice. Chapter 19, Elisha surrenders to God's call through the ministry of Elijah. 2 Kings 1, Elijah calls down fire from heaven to devour 50 of the king's men. 2 Kings 2, Elijah smote the flooded Jordan River with his mantle and crossed over in dry ground. Then Elijah was caught up into heaven alive in a fiery chariot. What a life after his brook had dried up. And he stayed true to God. He obeyed God. So has your brook dried up? God may very well be getting you ready to have the greatest ministry of your life and do the greatest work of your life. But wait for a word from God. Father, that's our message. Speak to our hearts, Lord Jesus. Lord, I know it wasn't an exciting sermon. But Lord, may it help some young man, some family, some servant of God who's been dealing with that brook that dried up and wondered, what am I going to do now? Lord, I ask you to speak to hearts tonight, and may we realize that God is our source of supply. May we dedicate ourselves afresh and anew to you in these difficult days, in these days just before the trumpet sounds and the archangel shouts. Help us to be faithful in the place you've put us, serving you with all our heart, seeking your face. Now bless this invitation, we ask it in Jesus' name. Brother Angel, come take the invitation, please, sir.
Look this way just a moment. Brother Carroll, would you stand? Brother Brown, Brother Watt, would you all stand? How many years, Brother Brown? Sir? In Decatur, Illinois. How many years did you try to sell that building? How many years? Brook ever dry up? You got a beautiful new building now, aren't you? Brother Carroll, how many years? 45. In Chicago. In Cicero. Zarephath. Demographics have changed. Membership has changed. Brook ever dry up? A few times. Brother Watt, how many years? 36 years, and Brother Watt's wife just went to heaven in East Peoria. How many pastors here, you've been at your church less than 10 years, would you stand? You've been less than 10 years in your church. Brother Grimaldi, I'm not counting you, you're a veteran. Some of you fell. Look, when, not if, when the brook dries up, do not go to the internet. Do not go to Smiley Joe, Joel down in Texas. don't get on some of these places. Seek these men. Seek men like these men. Brother Carter, how long were you in before you turned that over? How many years? 53 years. See the brook dry up a few times? And we've already heard, Brother Gomez, you were there 40, that's right. And Brother Woodward's 37 in a town, 38, excuse me, in a town of 4,200. I remember when the brook dried up for him. And at this altar, he said, I'm staying in this conference. He told me the other day, I'm enjoying pastoring now more than I ever have. 38 years. Brother Ballard, how long have you been there? 29 years. Brook's dried up a few times. The brook probably dry up, thank you, fellas. The brook will probably dry up in your marriage once in a while. What you going to do? Run away? Well, staying through those times when the brook dries up, knowing what to do. May not have been dynamic, but dynamic doesn't always help. This helped. Some of us just need to decide tonight that when the brook dries up, we're just going to stay until we hear from God. And most often, God's just going to say, stay put. Stay put. Let's stand. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You heard two tremendous messages tonight. Let's be tender. Let's be sensitive. Let's be honest before God. Let's seek His face. Let's seek His word. When the brook dries up, not if. Let's seek the Lord. The ladies play a song of invitation. While they play, you obey God tonight.